Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another question and answer Fantasy Football Scout video. My name is Az, and I am joined by Big Red Arrow Sam from FPL Family. How are you, Sam?
Oh my God. Genuinely, I don't even know what game week five was. Like, that is, in my whole FPL life, I've never had a Red Arrow that big.
And it was wildcard week, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh. I'd have been better off. I actually would have been better off had I not touched it. Had I left it alone, I'd have more points. And that is what really bugs me, because I basically spent all last week and I sort of knew there's always a risk. You go without Ronaldo, there's a risk.
Yeah.
But I sort of got away with the Ronaldo when he just got a goal. That was it, you know. And actually, if Ronaldo just got a goal every week, I can count myself quite lucky to get away with that. But my goodness, everyone else, like, it was just one of them weeks.
It was just a lot of, like, the fringe players kind of coming in, wasn't it? Like, Benrahma, Saar, like, Rafinha scored, Rudiger, a lot of people have got. All these guys. And, yeah, a lot of people that wildcarded this week were kind of burnt.
Yeah, I mean, I'm yet to really meet a wildcard from this week who think there were a lot of wildcarders that were, like, okay, because they'd gone with Rafinha, or okay, because they'd gone with Saar as a cheaper option. But there were a lot of wildcarders who, like me, had done the kind of big mid-price midfielder block in the middle, kind of gone with Greenwood or Jota or Torres. And then, of course, none of them did anything. If you built your team to have them in, that's a lot of budget that's already been wasted. And, of course, we didn't get Trent. Then we didn't get Reece James, and Richarlison didn't play. So there was a lot of players that people had looked to invest in that then just didn't show up at all the whole game week.
Yep. Absolutely. My game week was better.
I had
a good one, and it was a surprise. We talked about sort of the budget strikers last week, and you obviously were waxing lyrical about Pookie, like you do most weeks.
I didn't get him.
Didn't get him. I know. I was really disappointed when I saw your team, and he didn't have it.
Do you know what it was? And I'll let you talk in a minute, but I think with Pookie, it was one of them things that, because I didn't need the money, I was like, oh, let's just stick with Himi then, because better team, better underlying stats, good fixtures, I'll stick with Jimenez. No, I can come down later. Whereas if I'd have needed that extra budget, I would have 100% gone Pookie. And so kind of now wish that I'd needed the money.
Yeah, because I stuck with Tony, who I said, didn't I, if I was going to
pick... Could have had a hat-trick.
If I was going to pick one, I know he scores a backfield goal. He scores again from Mbomo. It was amazing watching him. And a bit of mixed feelings, because I bought in Semedo, and there's a question on him in the Q&A. Yeah, anyway, right, that's enough about our teams. We've had loads of questions to get through. Again, I think Super Chats are on, so if you want to ask us any questions live in the chat, I'll try and pick out some, and if you want to make sure we answer them, then obviously use the Super Chat feature. But I've got some from Scout and some from Twitter as well. So let's get stuck in. So Atletico Nashabro, interesting first question. Would you consider dropping Trent for Cancelo, Diaz or Rudiger, who are all matching him in the game? I know my answer to this, and I'm guessing yours is going to be pretty similar. Dropping Trent, I mean, he says, would you be brave enough? I mean, I don't think brave is the word I'd use to drop Trent.
No, mad, maybe.
Mad, yeah.
There's not another player in FPL that I would trade Trent for right now. I know that he missed game week five because he was ill, but it's not COVID. And so he's likely to be back for game week 6. Fixtures still look nice. I mean, they've got Brentford next. And I know Brentford have been quite solid defensively, but we haven't really seen them be tested by a really top quality side attacking them yet. Trent's always got the threat of attacking upside to his game. There's no way I'd lose Trent, even for the likes of Cancelo, Diaz and Rudiger, particularly when they all play each other this week.
Yeah. No, it's one of those moves which is like you can try and be too clever, can't you? And you know, it's such an obvious question to answer because the answer's no. But I've been there and I've been like, you know, maybe you're kind of stagnating around a certain rank. You're not really pushing on. You think, oh, I'm going to do something really clever and brilliant that no one else is thinking of. I'm going to drop the best player in the game and getting someone else. And it's just no. I mean, you can find other ways to bring in Cancelo, Diaz and Rudiger alongside Trent would be my advice. I agree. I wouldn't drop Trent for anyone. I think he's... It'd be interesting to see how he does with...
Lose Luke Shaw for him.
Yeah.
I'd lose Luke Shaw.
Yeah, lose Luke Shaw. I mean, you know, if you're comparing him to Jota and Greenwood and stuff, I mean, he's miles better than those options who are sort of failing to deliver a bit. So, no, easy first question. No, find other ways to get those three. Pundit of Punts, Alonso, Marcus Alonso. So we've had loads of questions about Chelsea defence. Maybe I'll combine them all together. So Kuno asked about Reece James. Mature Vibes on Twitter says, which Chelsea defenders would you bring in? Which are assured of starting every game? So Alonso's there. I don't know if you saw the rumours that are going around about Chilwell and why he's out. So we think Alonso is going to carry on, you know, playing. He's been playing well. He's going to carry on keeping Chilwell at the team. There doesn't seem... They're not in a rotation battle at the moment because Chilwell, by all accounts, is suffering mentally and needs time to kind of reintegrate and things. So for me, Alonso is a great pick. 5.7... still when he's a rubbish fullback, absolutely rubbish fullback, wing back, best in the world.
Like, he offers, it's mad, isn't it?
Offers so much attacking threat, and I'm starting to come around to him. What about you?
Starting to come around to him.
Yeah.
I mean, look, Alonso is one of those players that I get the fear about quite a lot, because I think we've all, for the last few seasons, we've spoken, haven't we, about rotation risk and how he's going to not get starts and how he's going to get dropped and it's going to cost you a fortune sat on the bench. You're going to have to transfer waiting to happen. I do think we've got time with Alonso at the moment, and we're getting that time at the right moment when the Chelsea fixtures are really nice. Yeah. I was at the Spurs game on Sunday. He was incredibly impressive. He got booed every single touch that he had, but it didn't bother him. And it was one of those that, you know, when you watch him and you think you're really dangerous. And in the second half in particular, I thought there were a lot of times where something more could have come from it had they spotted the run that he'd made, or had they just integrated him a little bit more into that attacking play. He is really good. The question I have is, it's a budget thing, I suppose, because we are trying to build sides that have all of these players that we've been talking about. And I think Alonso, if you're going to go with a Chelsea defender, then either going Alonso or Reece James for their attacking threat does make sense. But you could save money and go Rudiger. And we saw against Spurs that he has got the occasional bit of attacking
great
threat.
Great finish, wasn't it?
It was a really good finish, yeah. So I really like Alonso. If you can budget for one of those two, Reece James, Alonso, then I think that makes a lot of sense. But if you can't, it is okay to go Rudiger instead.
I mean, there's not a huge amount of difference between the price. I mean,
no,
incorrect in the chat, Alonso's 5.8, I think James is 5.6, and Rudiger's 5.5, unless he's gone up 0.1.
I think he's still 5.5.
Still 5.5.
So, because Reece James came down, didn't he, I think. So, yeah, I think, I don't know, if you're scrabbling around, going Antonio is fine. If you are, Alonso. You know, if you, no, Rudiger, Antonio, Rudiger.
You did not, mean to call him, or your first name basis
first name.
Is with
we
Rudiger.
We are first, we're best friends.
You're busy, yeah, you and a Chelsea
mates.
Player, yeah, clearly.
Yeah, me and Antonio and Rudiger, we're best mates. Did you not know that? I'm not best mates with you anymore, just with Rudiger.
Just call me Phillips.
For me. going with Rudiger is fine. If you're a little bit more, go with Alonso. I think I'd go Alonso over Reece James, would you?
Well, that's the question, right? Because James is someone who lots of people were buying. They think, oh, you know, he seems more nailed on. But I think the Spurs game was a bit of a wake-up call for a lot of people, because I expected him to play in that game. And Tuchel chose to play kind of as Laquetta there and shuffle things around. And I don't think James is any more nailed on than Alonso is. In fact, at the moment, I think with the situation with Chilwell, I think Alonso might even be
more nailed
going forward. So it's a very interesting one. I think at the moment I would pick, if you'd asked me last week, I'd have said James, no question. Now, I'm leaning towards Alonso.
Yeah. I would have. I totally agree with you. My full intention in game week, ahead of game week 7, was to go Luke Shaw to James. But now I'm really on the fence with that one. I still want to invest in the Chelsea defence, but I don't think it's quite as straight cut now as to which one you go with. I do really like Alonso. I do think that with what we're hearing about Chilwell, we should get more time with Alonso. Mm. And that time, given the fixture run, makes him a really nice, attractive option.
Yeah. If I'm picking one, though, and I might have to kind of next week, well, I will have to because I'm definitely bringing one in, I think I'm just going to go Rudiger. He's playing like a man possessed anyway. He has been pretty much since Tuchel came in and put him back in the starting lineup. Like, in some ways, it makes you think, oh, he was lucky in the Euros as well. He runs around and puts hard tackles in, and you always worry, oh, God, is he going to like get a red card any minute or a yellow? But also, the goal he scored was fantastic. So
yeah, I mean, I was right behind it, and it was a cracker of a goal. I actually agree with you. I think I'm going to go Rudiger. I think having thought I was going to go James, I do now think I'm likely to go Rudiger.
I think if you're picking one, you just go with Rudiger. I think there's a real case for getting two
with the fixtures
they've got.
I think, and the midfield is harder to pick from, isn't it? So it's difficult to pick a midfielder from Chelsea. So you're going to go Lukaku probably. The midfield's a bit more of a minefield, but the defence, suddenly you have got two good options in Alonso and Rudiger. So
that's what I think. That's the way to do it. Rudiger, Alonso and Lukaku. I think that they're the three. They're the three you get from game week 7. I think that's such a strong trio.
What is this? Are we agreeing?
I know. Very rare. Very rare. Your connection's awful today, by the way.
It's terrible. I don't know why. I don't know what's happening.
Just one of those days, isn't it?
Yeah, I tell you what, I am having one of them days today. I don't know why it's so bad. There's nothing wrong with it, according to my computer, but it is breaking up. Sorry, everyone.
That's right, we'll get for it. So a couple of super chats. VKR, best goalkeeper option. So if you're picking a goalkeeper now, who'd you get? Sanchez, Guaita, Raya or Sarr? So we're looking around the kind of 5 million and lower mark. Took Sarr on the wildcard. Now thinking of Guaita, as Sarr is overpriced. Well, firstly, if you've just wildcard, I wouldn't be making a goalkeeper transfer. There's plenty more other moves. You pretty much have a priority. Sarr's still a good pick. Defensive numbers are still good. Bit of a blip against Brentford, who are a good side, hoping that they can start getting some. So definitely don't be making a sideways goalkeeper move. If I'm picking one of those four, it would be Raya, but the fixtures are so rough. I've got to be honest, I'm fairly happy with Sanchez. His points are 6-2, 6-2, 6-2. But Brighton are still looking good defensively. I think he's the best 4.5 option going forward. You?
I agree. Yeah, I agree. I kept Sanchez on wildcard for that very reason. I think at that price point, he offers the best value for the fixtures that they have coming up.
Yeah, and I think, In the Brighton defence, we haven't really got too many options. I mean, I've got Veltman, but now he's kind of playing at centre-back. He's not most attacking wing-back anyway. He still has lots of defensive duties. Whereas with Wolves, you've got Marcel and Semedo, who are much more attacking defensive options. So you pay more for Sarr, and then you kind of can't get one of them unless you double up, which seems a bit unnecessary. So it's Sanchez for me. Raya, when the fixtures turn, though, I think he could be a standout 4-5. We had another one as well from Dave Lister. From Red Dwarf, very nice to see you, Dave. Morning, Sam and Az. Should I get rid of Gray and Doucouré? Everton look terrible, but they do have Norwich next. I think terrible is maybe a bit harsh. I mean, they had a lot of injuries.
They did look pretty bad.
They did in the second half. The first half was sort of a bit more evenly matched, and then it all just derailed in the worst possible way for them.
Yeah, but they were evenly matched in a bad way. Like, their XGs were awful.
That's true.
So they were both poor. I don't think, so I've got Damari Gray. I don't think you can sell ahead of Norwich.
No.
So I think you've got to hold through this Norwich game. If he doesn't return against Norwich, that would be the time where I'd be like, right, off you go.
Norwich are, you know, a bad side. let's be honest. I mean, you know, I actually tipped them to win against Watford, and it's a huge game for them. And to go down, 3-1 at home to a fellow relegation battling side is terrible. I mean, Decore played a lot deeper against Villa. You know, had to shuffle the pack and move things around. But this was the worry with Decore, was that he's playing in this kind of number 10 role. He's a great option. As soon as he drops deeper, he's not having the impact that he does. Gray's probably the one that I'd consider now, given the injuries they've got. And I kind of flip flop between thinking he's a great option, thinking he's rubbish. I wouldn't expect huge things from him, but he's what, 5'7", 5'8"? Like, you don't need huge things. You need an assist, and you've got your money's worth with him. So no, I definitely wouldn't sell Dave. I would keep him in. Other questions. HMC asked me how I feel about bringing in Semedo.
I did that too.
Yeah, it was a funny one because I bought him in knowing I had the clash with Tony. So I kind of hoped one of them would do well. And
we did.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, as long as you get one right, it's okay. You know, I think what Tony got 12 and Simone got one. So if I'd got, you know, 6 and 5, or that's bad math, 6 and 7, I would have been happy with that. And, you know, but it all came from one player. Fine. I mean, Semedo again played deeper. He didn't have anywhere near as attacking returns he did. But that's because of Brentford. Brentford were absolutely superb. Have been in every game I've seen them play. I keep saying it. There's absolutely no way they're going to be relegated this year. They are just... It's such a...
They're the best, by far, of the newly promoted sides.
It's not even a debate. They're so far away. I mean, they've got attacking threat. They're good defensively. They've got a good goalkeeper. Their midfield solid. Partnership between Tony and Mbeumo is amazing. Like, you know, they know where they are. And like you say, Tony could have had a hat-trick. Easy.
Should have
done.
Yeah.
Three or four goals. And Wolves were posting the best defensive numbers in the league. So,
I know.
Yeah, it's... Yeah, they're a great side to watch.
Fixtures are still nice for Wolves, though.
They are.
So I didn't bring in Semedo for a 1 week punt. Like, I bought him in because the fixtures are nice and he had attacking threat and he was likely to get clean sheets. So I'm not that upset about the Semedo thing. I was a bit confused as to the collapse of Wolves defensively, but I'm not that concerned.
No, me neither. And, you know, he's 4.9, even if he's not my favourite player attacking wise anyway, but he was 5-5 last season and I needed to feel like I was getting some attacking returns at 4.9, you know, some clean sheets and I'm probably pretty happy with that, to be fair. Conan23 asks about Tony. He says keep or sell. He's a keep. He's a keep for me. He's gone from like, oh my God, I need to get rid of this guy to a keep.
Even with the fixtures.
I mean, Liverpool's tough, right? Obviously. But then... It's West Ham. I think he can score in that game. And then I think it's Chelsea. So obviously they're kind of the two hardest fixtures he can have. But then it's games like Leicester, Everton, these teams who look difficult when you see the fixture difficulty thing. But aside from City, Liverpool and Chelsea, there's no one really that I don't think a team can score against. Like, it's similar to last season. It's, you know, the quality of defences outside of those three teams really isn't that high. And the way Tony's playing with penalties... The way Brentford are set up, I think he's still, for 6-3, whatever he is, I still think he's the best option under 7.
More than Pookie. Great.
More than Pookie,
the fixtures do put me off a bit. I think, but it's only really the next couple of weeks that the fixtures put me off. And then, like you say, once he's coming up against Everton, I wouldn't have any qualms about playing him against that Everton defence, for sure. So I think, you know, for the next couple, but then at the price point, Tony, you can just bench him for Liverpool bench him for Chelsea. It's not the end of the world.
I'm being accused of recency bias. I not really, because I was saying this last week.
You did say it last week.
Before the 12 points. I think he's looked good in the games that I've seen. I think the question is, if I was wildcarding, would I keep Tony? Probably not. Let's be honest.
Yeah.
Unless I needed if I needed a 6.5 or under striker, I think he still would be the one that I'd go for, but I'd probably swap things around so he wouldn't be in. But do I think he's a priority in my team to get rid of, even with the fixtures the way they are? No, because I've got Greenwood. People are going to have Jota. I'm going to be looking to get Chelsea defenders in. There's other things that I want to be doing rather than losing Tony. And that 12 points was welcome because it shows that he has got the FPL pedigree to hopefully carry on getting some returns. So he's a keep for me. Okay, so this is the big question, right? So Mountain Beach, Dunas Dog, Doi, I love reading out these names, all from Scout. They're asking about Jota. Jota is interesting because obviously we most of us started with Simakas, and the worry was he's going to block us getting Jota in. So the worst possible thing happens a few weeks ago. Simakas gets dropped. Firmino gets injured. Everyone thinks, oh my God, we need to get Jota in. His stats are amazing. Talk about a trap. But it's not actually Simakas who's the trap. It's Jota who's the trap. And people who've wildcarded and taken big hits, I was debating a -8 to bring him in. You got him in and you've been rewarded with two successive blanks. And now Firmino is back in training and possibly ready to start the next game. So what are you feeling about Jota? Are you worried that there's been no returns, or do you think he's just been unlucky? I mean, his miss was awful, wasn't it?
So I watched that. You can imagine how I felt sitting in the stand at Anfield watching that. I was raging. And then Salah took his blooming shirt off and I was like, what is going on with you lot today? Can you please keep your shirts on and can you please finish your shots? So I only got Jota on wildcard last week. I did it because I wanted flexibility in the middle. So I wanted to have two of the seven to eight-ish million pound midfielders. I didn't trust Torres to start after his exploits recently. I just had a feeling that Pep was going to be Pep and give him a rest because he played a lot for Spain on international duty and he played a lot for Man City, including the Champions League. So I wanted to go with Jota. I thought they had the easier fixture as well because Southampton have actually been good defensively in the last few weeks. They've really shored up. So I thought Liverpool had the better fixture. I thought Simakas wasn't going to play. I did have some concerns that Robertson might get rested here and there across the course
Let's
of the season.
Let's talk Andy called that. See his strength. Yeah. Played him.
Yeah. I did have some concerns about Robertson that I've been speaking about for a little bit, about how I think that there could be some more shared minutes this year. Robertson's had this injury. Obviously, he plays a lot of football over the course of the season, both with Liverpool and internationally with Scotland, because if he's away with Scotland, he's going to play every game. And I did have some concerns that when you've got a player like Simakas, who's proved himself to be good enough to play in that Liverpool starting 11 against the slightly supposedly weaker opposition in the Premier League, you could see him getting some game time because Klopp has now got an option there. He doesn't really have that with Trent, which is another reason I wouldn't sell Trent, because Trent hasn't really got an understudy in the same way that Robbo has. So I don't know how I feel about Jota at the moment. I mean, I'm not going to sell him ahead of Brentford, that's for sure. I'm going to keep him and see what happens. I always knew that going Jota, there was going to be a rotation risk with Firmino. That's not new news. Firmino was never going to be out long term. I had hoped he would return against Palace. Is the honest answer. That's kind of why I brought him in, thinking you're going to play against Palace because Bobby's not ready, and then probably you might get some minutes. He might ease Firmino back in during the Brentford game, so you might get 60 minutes out of Jota, and then it might be Firmino that comes on for the last 30, and we might see that happen. I am slightly concerned now, though, and I think going into, if there was a standout Chelsea midfielder, going into seven, Jota to that person would be the one.
Yeah, but isn't. Two amazing games Liverpool have had in Leeds and Palace. You would definitely be expecting returns from kind of the nailed on seven, you know, out of position midfielder. You know, people beating themselves up over it. It's like you can't. I mean, he should have had a couple of assists against Leeds, and I think his XG was about 0.68 or something for the chance that he missed. I mean, it was I still can't quite believe that he missed it. And it's becoming a bit of a pattern with him, because I owned him at the end of last season, like a lot of people, and he never really delivered on that. And alongside Mane as well, it's like Salah is now the clinical one. When Salah first joined, he was the one that needed loads of chances to score. So it is interesting how that's kind of developing. So, he's an easy hold for me. I mean,
You can't sell him.
You can't sell him. I mean,
you can't sell him. You've got to hold him. But how long do you keep patient?
Yeah.
I think is the question. And for now, the fixtures are nice enough. And Firmino's not going to come in. He's not going to bring Firmino back in and play him for 90 minutes against Brentford. It's just not going to happen. So he's going to get minutes. And in those minutes, he could easily return. So I'm not selling him, but I am a bit annoyed.
He's got a hole in him, I mean, at some point. I mean, the fixtures are a bit mixed now. It's Brentford away, and then City at home, and then Watford away, and then United away, and then Brighton at home, and then West Ham away. So it's a bit kind of... But also, that gives you a bit of an opportunity to get off him if you don't want to. Like, if you watch him against Brentford and you think, oh, do you know what, forget this, you sell him before City at home. If you keep him, you give him Watford, and then if he doesn't perform in that, you sell him before United away. So in some ways, when a player's got a really nice fixture run, you can keep him for too long because you're constantly thinking, oh, I can't sell him before Newcastle, I can't sell him before this. So in some ways, it's nice that the fixtures are a bit mixed. Yeah, I'd keep. Yeah. What about Greenwood then? Because I bought in Greenwood last week alongside Ronaldo. He was, he got the assist in that game, a bit fortuitous, a shot. You know, spilled, and then Ronaldo taps it in. So didn't really, you know, look too threatening in that game. And then again, in the last match, just because everything's going through Ronaldo, he's kind of on the periphery a little bit, and obviously maybe a bit more rotation coming with Sancho knocking around, and players like Martial and Pogba could play on the left, and Rashford. So I think he's probably more of a concern. What would you do with him? I mean, I wouldn't advise buying him right now, but I'm reluctant to sell him.
Yeah, I've got him. I've got him because I don't have Ronaldo, and I kind of felt a bit like going into the Manchester United games without any attacking threat from Manchester United in my FPL squad was a bit suicidal, to be quite honest. So I've got Luke Shaw still at the moment for now, probably going to be a Chelsea defender in game week 7, and I've got Greenwood. I haven't been that impressed by Greenwood. And even in the early part of the season when he was returning, the team was set out incredibly differently to what it is now. There's been a fundamental change in Manchester United, of course, because Ronaldo's back, and that has affected things. And it will be affected more, like you say, when Rashford comes back and he's got some rotational threats now that he maybe didn't have game weeks 1 through 3, probably 1 through 4. So right now I'm going to hold him. I think you have to. Villa defensively have looked not that great. Then they've got Everton after, who've looked awful defensively. So I'm going to hold him for the next couple and just see what happens with him in terms of where his positioning on the pitch is, whether we see him returning to, as he plays more with Ronaldo, whether we see him a bit more involved in the play. I just feel it's a bit much to transfer him out on the basis of the last couple of games. But I don't think I would bring him in, no.
Yeah, and I think what we're going to probably see, and something I was maybe considering, was, you know, dropping Ronaldo in game week 7 for Lukaku, keeping Greenwood and hoping he can cover Ronaldo's points. And I just don't think there's any chance of that.
That's sort of what I did. Yeah. Like, I've got Lukaku instead of Ronaldo because of the fixtures going forward and because I didn't trust the Spurs defence. But now I am looking at it.
You need to look at him in isolation. You need to look at Greenwood and think, is he going to deliver for a 7.5 midfielder? Nothing about, is he going to match Ronaldo? Coverage about United's attack. If he's playing right out on the wing, not getting involved as I saw in the last match, he's not going to deliver enough returns. And so it's time to sell. So I don't think this is the week to do it. But I think when you start maybe moving for Lukaku and you need to free up some money, I think he could be one of the first names that we think to lose.
Yeah.
He's an interesting one though. So quite a few questions in the chat about Torres as well. So this is a bit of a theme. All these kind of, it's rotation, right? You've got the Chelsea defenders, rotation worries there. You've got Jota, you've got Greenwood potentially. Torres is a big one. You knew what you were getting. I have no sympathy for anyone that went for Torres because this is so predictable.
Yep.
And you just have to ride with it, don't you? It's going to happen. He's going to get benched. I still think he's first choice striker for City, but
don't always play with a striker.
Doesn't matter if
you're
first choice.
And they've got Foden and KDB back now. So I find Torres a difficult one because he has been good. When he's played, he has been good. But now they've got their other players back involved. We have seen in the past that Pep likes to play KDB in a false nine. There's other players that can play in a false nine, not just Torres. So there's always going to be some rotation. Now, he has been, I would expect to see Torres come back, though. Having said that, I would expect him to come back. I do think he got a rest because of the game time that he's had. So I would expect to see him come back. But with the two fixtures that the way that they are now, do you really, like against Chelsea and against Liverpool, I don't see him getting attacking returns against those guys. I just don't. I think Van Dijk and Rudiger will just deal with, they'll deal with him.
It's weird, isn't it? Because you watch City in some games, like, you know, obviously against Leipzig, was it 6-2 winners? Scored five against Arsenal, five against Norwich. You think, oh, they don't need a striker. They're amazing. And then you watch them against Southampton, and they were just so poor. Like the attacking wise, it just wasn't clicking at all. And I think FPL is a stressful game anyway. I try to limit the stress that I have, and Torres is.
I can't cope.
Stress. I just can't cope. I mean, I've got Grealish, and at least he starts. I know he's not really getting the returns, but at least I'm getting games out of him. But Torres, to me, is, like you say, there's too many different systems. There's too many players coming back. Yeah. I avoided him for this reason. I think now is probably a good time to jump off him, because, like you say, I don't think he's going to get big returns in the next two.
No, I don't either. I think the only, like, I can understand Grealish. I can understand you having him. When KDB's back, I can understand if people wanted to go with him after these fixtures, although getting him is going to be so difficult in terms of budget. It's why I'm probably just going to go Diaz, to be honest.
Yeah.
I'm going to be really boring with City. Eventually, after these two fixtures, I'm just going to get Diaz and let him get some clean sheets, because I can't cope with the Pep roulette. It ruins my weekend sitting to wait for, is my City player, and it means my bench has got to be so much better, because every week there's a risk that my City player doesn't play, and then I'm reliant on a bench player, and they're not that great, the bench players this year, because I just need them to come on and do a job every now and then. But if you've invested in City, the risk is real, and I can't cope with the stress.
I don't think there's any City attacker who's going to get consistently high returns over a period of time. You're going to
share it.
They're going to share it. They're going to get some sixes. They're going to get some sevens, some assists. You're going to have one player who gets 14 and everyone brings him in, and the next week he doesn't play. Like, that is just going to happen. And I completely agree. I think going for Diaz or Cancelo, I think Cancelo is probably the one that I want. Yeah. I think, because at least then you do get that attacking threat with him. I mean, he's another frustrating player, because he never really delivers on his attacking potential, but it is always there, you know, underlying, and he should play most games. So yeah, Cancelo or Diaz for me. Torres is a nightmare. Grealish, I'm actually thinking of selling Grealish this week, because I'm probably going to wildcard in eight anyway. And then it's, like you say, Chelsea and then Liverpool. Can't see two big returns. And if you're asking me, I mean, look at Saar, for example. Saar's got Newcastle and then Leeds, the two kind of worst defensive teams. And it seems crazy. Do I want a Man City attacker or a Watford attacker? At the moment, I'm leaning towards the Watford attacker.
Yeah, but it makes a lot of sense.
Would you disagree?
No, I wouldn't. No, not at all. In fact, I totally agree. I would 100% agree with you. It frustrates me. The fixtures are really tough. Chelsea are solid defensively. Liverpool are solid defensively. They're not going to get a lot of joy in those games you wouldn't have expected. Whereas you could see Watford getting a lot of joy, because they're not great defensively either. So they've got attack. So Sar's going to be important. It makes a lot of sense to me.
Yep. Some questions, some put in the chat. Good to see Hungry for More FPL in the chat. Check out their podcast. Two Australian ladies, very, very good. I listened to it. There's a link to their podcast in my tweets as well. So yeah, check that out. Cavanna's taking advice from someone ranked over 1 million. Wow, hate these comments. Form is temporary, class is permanent. Sam will be roaring back. And you should definitely...
Oh, it's just a terrible week.
Definitely terrible take advice week from her over me, even though I'm ranked 277. Quite a good start for
are
me.
Are you?
For
is
once
that where you are now? You've had... Yeah, see,
I know.
I never start well, but normally by this point, I've like worked it out what I'm doing. But wildcard weeks, I never have good wildcard weeks, never. But they're not this bad normally.
No, I know.
So it'll be bad.
All the thought that goes into them as well, that's the worst part. You're tinkering away,
so annoying,
looking at all the stats, getting the optimum team, and then it all just goes terribly. Yeah. Jibin Thomas Joseph asked about Alonso. Yeah, we did talk about Alonso earlier. So check that out. We think he's more nailed than Reece James, if you're debating those, but obviously not as nailed as someone like Rudiger. Yeah. He's kind of the middle ground for rotation, but probably offers, well, does offer the most attacking threat. What else have we got? Stephen Ty, do you prefer Torres or Grealish? It's really, I mean, Grealish, I prefer Grealish, I think, because I feel like he's going to play every game at least, but he really isn't delivering. Like, I've expected more from him. I wasn't expecting massive returns from him.
Grealish is safer, but Torres has potentially got more attacking threat. Like, I think Torres will probably return more in less minutes. If you can cope with the stress of Torres getting benched. I just haven't seen a lot from Grealish. He's played well. It's not been anything from a football perspective. He's done well. From an FPL perspective, I've just not seen enough from him to warrant spending that much money on him.
Yeah, so sometimes I watch him, and I've said this before, sometimes I watch him and I think he's getting in all the right positions. He's playing advanced. He's not playing deep. He is getting the ball in attacking areas, but he just isn't getting points. And yeah, I mean, obviously when Torres is playing kind of as a striker, it's just, would I rather have a potential 0-minute or a 60-minute Torres versus a nailed-on 90-minute Grealish? To be honest, I wouldn't want either for the next two.
No,
I just can't see big returns for either. So, we've had a super chat. Stephen Gallagher kept Fernandes for 2 weeks to see if he could cover, that word again, Ronaldo. But he can't, yeah. Is it too late to switch for a -4 if Ronaldo was captain or just captain Salah? Yeah, it's the same thing with Greenwood, like I was saying. I think you've got to look at Fernandes in isolation. Forget about Ronaldo. Forget about everything else going on. This whole thing about coverage is just nonsense. Can Fernandes live up to a 12 million price tag without penalties and with Ronaldo in the team? No, I cannot see it. He's not going to get 200 points this season. That's my prediction.
No, I don't think he will either. I think he has, the last couple of weeks, he has been a bit unlucky not to get returned. He could have done against West Ham, but you don't want to be talking about could-haves when you're talking about that level of investment. Like, you know, with Salah, with Ronaldo, with Lukaku, they're returning nearly every week. And that's the level of investment, or the level of returns that you want from that investment. Mm. With Bruno, I feel like you're always going to be sitting there going, but he could have.
Yeah.
And but he could have is just not enough anymore. And it's really difficult because he has been such a brilliant FPL asset for the last 18 months. But at this point, I think if you're going to go premium at United, you go Ronaldo, and you don't even consider going Bruno.
No, and is it too late to switch for -4 for Ronaldo? No, I don't think it is. I think I'd still be making that move. Ronaldo is just showing each week his numbers are the best in the league. He's had the highest XG, the most shots, the most touches in the penalty area. Every stat that you want him to have, he's top of. The captain's interesting. I mean, Salah is obviously a good captain option against Brentford. And I think, you know, Joe and Tom are going to be doing captaincy video at 1:30, I think. So watch out for that to see who they kind of pick out. Because it's a decision for me that I think is going to go right down to the wire, just as it kind of did last week. But Ronaldo's at home this time. Liverpool are away. Brentford are a good side. So it's tricky. If you're planning on captaining Ronaldo, so if you think Ronaldo is the best option, the -4 is an easy one. Because a -4 to take out Fernandes and bring in a captain of Ronaldo, great. If you're going to leave it on Salah anyway, I don't know. Maybe I'd leave it and bank the transfer and look to do it for free next week. What do you think?
Well, I think I agree. Mm. I mean, I don't have Ronaldo. I could do it. I could take a hit. But I'm going to captain Salah. So I don't see the value in taking a hit to bring him in. I don't know. I think for me, I think there is absolute justification for holding Ronaldo through this difficult period. Mm. But having said that, we've only seen him play against defences that he can get at, relatively speaking. You know, we haven't yet seen Ronaldo come up against Liverpool or City or Chelsea. We've not seen him play against a really tough defensive unit yet and a good quality opposition. And I mean that with the greatest respect to West Ham. But historically, his record against the lower sides is great for Juve, but it's not so great when you look at it against, you know, their title contenders. So I don't know. I think for me, I am going to try and ride it out again for another week, hide behind the sofa when United play, because it is hellish not having him. It really is. But I think if you're going to captain Salah and you're not going to give Ronaldo the armband, then the minus four feels like you could probably wait a week and then do it.
I think you can still get Ronaldo this week and enjoy games against Villa, Everton and Leicester, because none of those three teams, I think, are particularly difficult games. It's from nine where they really toughen. Then they've got Liverpool at home, Spurs away. Okay, that's...
No, that's not tough.
But then City, and then Watford, which is obviously a good game, and then Chelsea. So they play Liverpool, City and Chelsea within in 3 out of 5 weeks.
Yeah.
At that time, that's the time when Lukaku's fixtures are just absolutely unbelievable. So I'm still sticking to the plan, I think, of in game week 8 going Ronaldo-less. But until then, I still think the next three are a good game. So
I agree.
You could argue, oh, it's too late to bring in Ronaldo because, you know, the fixtures turn. But I still think the next three are decent enough to bring him in, personally. What else have we got? Any other questions? Oh, a good question. Here's one. This will be our last question. One player we haven't talked about for captaincy, and I should have mentioned him because I'm considering him as well, is Antonio against Leeds. I mean, you know, Villa is kind of, you know, you'd expect United to win, but are they going to win 4 or 5 nil? Probably not. Look at Salah. Brentford have been playing well. Leeds, though, my God, are Leeds giving up chances? Their defence is just absolutely all over the place. Their midfield looks isolated. They are not. They've got injuries potentially to Bamford. Yep. Has got an ankle injury. They've got Rafinha, who's a doubt.
Rafinha went off early. Ailing.
Ailing. Yay. Ailing. Ailing. That's it. I still can't quite get it right. And Antonio had a rest in, obviously, played in the Europa League. So he's had a little bit of an extended one. Scored in that Europa League game.
Yep.
I have to say, I am very, very tempted by Antonio captain this week.
I don't think it's a bad move by any stretch of the imagination. Not at all. One thing, though, I will say, that Leeds-Newcastle game was one of the best games of football I've watched in a very long time. It was brilliant. But in some ways, for the wrong reasons, because the defences were woeful, both sides. So it was allowing the attackers to be really good. I wasn't that impressed by Bamford. I'd say that quietly because everyone's, you know, talking about getting him. But I thought he looked like he was carrying something. He wasn't quite the Bamford that he was last season, and got a bit fortunate, to be honest, with that assist because it's just a Rafinha bit of magic, isn't it? And he doesn't really mean it to go in. It's a cross, isn't it? Really, and it's good. If anything, Rodrigo probably deserved the assist more because he puts off the keeper. But anyway, that's beside the point. So I think, with Antonio facing this team, particularly if Luke Ayling's not there, they are defensively going to be all over the place. And I can see him having an absolute field day against them. They're going to want to bounce back from what happened against Manchester United, because they'll feel hard done by that in the last minute they didn't salvage a draw from that game. Leeds are going to attack. It's the only way they know how to defend. So they're going to leave space for Antonio. They're going to leave space for Benrahma. And I think Antonio could be a great captain.
I just look at, like, Antonio's attributes, like speed, power, his form, confidence at the moment, his, you know, clinical finishing. And I look at Leeds, his back line, and I just think he's going to... How can they stop him?
They can't, I don't think.
I just don't see how they can stop him. I mean, I think Villa could put up a bit of a fight against United. They're still not clicking, you know, relying on a bit of Lingard brilliance and still working out how to play Ronaldo. I look at other teams like Chelsea playing City, kind of rules them out. Brentford, I think, is a tougher game than maybe some people think for Liverpool. Yeah. And I think that Leeds West Ham game, that should be game of the week, right? Like, if you're going to watch one game, I'm watching that, because that is going to be a high intensity, exciting match, where if I've got a striker captained, I'm going to be fairly confident of returns. So, yeah, if I'd sold Antonio, like a lot of people did, for Bamford, for example, or Jimenez, I'd be reversing it. I would not want to be going into this game without Antonio.
Yeah, it's why I kept him on wildcard and just benched him, because I was like, I can't, and it's not just Leeds, it's the game after as well. Like, the next two fixtures are great for Antonio. He is captainable for the next 2 weeks, particularly when you're talking about, you know, you're not going to captain Salah. You know, most people are going to captain Lukaku in 7, let's be honest, but you're not going to captain Salah because he's got a difficult game against Man City. There's a lot of players that disappear from that captain's option list in both 6 and 7 because of those two big fixtures that we've got. But Antonio is a viable captain both times.
Yep, completely agree. We've had one more super chat, so this will be our last question, so no more of those, please. This is a great name, Bangvir Dai Vuligat FC. Look at that.
Brilliant.
He just simply asked, would you take a hit to remove Jota this week? Again, we did talk about Jota earlier. I don't think you can sell him.
No, I don't either.
Let alone for a hit. I wouldn't be selling him for free.
He's not going to play Firmino for 90 minutes against Brentford. He's not. He's going to start Jota and then he's going to bring Firmino on probably around 60, 70 minutes. It's what's going to happen. But in 60, 70 minutes, Jota should return.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. You've more than likely got other things that are a priority over selling a Liverpool attacker against Brentford, a newly promoted side, even though I do think they could have a bit of a fight. If not, save the transfer.
Yeah.
Because you're going to need it for other moves. Definitely.
Sell him the week after before he plays Man City.
Definitely don't do it for a hit. Like that's an obvious no for me.
Yeah, me too.
So I think that's it from us this week. We will be back. I don't know when we're back. Someone said that I look like I need a few coffees. I need something stronger than a few coffees.
As needs, you need a week off.
I do, yeah. And
should we just ask for a pause in the FPL season so you can have a bit of a downtime?
Yeah, my holiday is going on a house move on Thursday, and then onto.
But
a
you
stag,
are moving closer to me, so what more could you want?
Yep, so I'll be round yours for roast. Lee's going to get sick of me. He's going to. Why is Az round here every week for a roast? God, terrible. So that's great. If you've enjoyed this, make sure you like the video and subscribe to the channel as well. Again, if you want your questions answered. We take super chats live, but the best way to get your questions answered is to drop a note on the hot topic on Scout, which goes up on the morning of the Q&A, or on Twitter as well. Look for the tweet about the Q&A, and we've answered all of them, all of the questions that we had, and all the super chats. We've nailed it today, Sam. If you've enjoyed this video and you've enjoyed sort of hearing about stats or things like that, make sure you check out Fantasy Football Scout. Become a member of that. Check out all the great things we've got. The members area, the tools, the tables, all the up-to-data, Rate My Team. Loads of great stuff in there. But Sam, thank you so much for joining me. And I will see you next week at some point.
See you next week.
Thanks, everyone.